You haven't heard about the McCrispy yet? Well then, you probably haven't heard the sweet silence after the first crispy bite either. Go try it for yourself to hear the best not sound you've ever heard.
What's up, Undisputed listeners? It's your boy, Shay Sharp. I wanted to tell you about my new podcast, Club Shay Shay, where we always do something before two something. Each week, I sit down with a guest for a drink and conversation, and as host and proprietor of Club Shay Shay, I welcome in esteemed guests such as Snoop Dogg, Floyd Money Mayweather, LeVar Ball, Isaiah Thomas, just to mention a few. Whether I'm talking to an athlete, a musician, an actor, or a lifelong friend, Club Shay Shay is a place where people share inspiring and motivational stories about their journeys to prominence. The new episode drops every Monday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe to Club Shay Shay now and make sure you never miss a new episode. Now back to Undisputed.
Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. This podcast is a condensed version of today's episode of Undisputed, handpicked with the best segments and discussions. Skip, Shannon, let's go.
Ben Roethlisberger will be coming back next season for the Steelers and at a much cheaper price. Big Ben is restructuring his deal, according to reports, that will reduce his pay by $5 million in the final year of the deal. Overall, the restructuring is expected to free up over $15 million this season for Pittsburgh. So, Shannon, is this a good move or a bad move to bring Big Ben back at this point?
Skill, here's the thing. My grandfather used to say, boy, give me your options and I tell you your choices. Okay, what's the options? Haskins, Mason Rudolph. Well, your choice is Ben Roethlisberger. There you go. Give me your option. I'll tell you your choices. What choice did they have, Skip, given the options that they placed themselves in? The Steelers have not done a great job preparing for the future at that position. And you would think, having had to go through what they went through with Terry Bradshaw when he retired, if I'm not mistaken, Skip, in 1984, to all the way two decades later getting Ben in the first round in 2004, you would have thought they would have done a better job of preparing for life after Ben Roethlisberger. Mm-hmm. But guess what? They have not. So now this is what faces them. Their options were either Haskins, Dwayne Haskins, or Mason Rudolph. So the only choice that they had was to bring Ben Roethlisberger back. Even at $5 million pay reduction, so he's supposed to make $19 million base, he makes $14 million now, Skip. That was the only choice that they had. Does it make him better? Now all of a sudden he comes back? Skip, what's the likelihood? A guy in year what? What would this be? Year 18 for Ben? That his arm after elbow surgery, after all the sacks, after all the hits, after the motorcycle injury robbed him of probably a year of his career. His arm's going to get stronger? He's going to push the ball down the field more now? Hell, I read a story with Ben Bradley practices during the week. I'm trying to figure out how the hell the starting quarterback really doesn't practice that much and have a rhythm with the receivers. No, it doesn't make them any better. Skip, they're not a very good team. The team is built. They can't run the football. So what are they going to do now all of a sudden? Are they going to trade for Derrick Henry? Are they going to trade for an elite running back? Are they going to draft Najee Harris? When they can run the football with more consistency and Ben is willing to attempt to push the ball down the field, wake me up. But in the meantime, I'm going to doze off. And I'm going to sleep because I expect the Steelers to be exactly what they were last year.
Hmm. Well, by the way, speaking of exactly what they were last year, you do remember that team got to 11 wins and no losses. As you know, in this league, to get to 11-0 is not easy. Something has to be going right. And at the end of the year,
here's the thing, though, Skip.
What's that?
They're going to lose Bud Dupree.
Maybe.
So, but we also, but we saw, but Skip, what did we see? Even when they played your Cowboys and they won, I was telling you all year, Skip, I see major flaws in this team.
Okay.
They're not winning any playoff games.
All right.
They're too flawed.
But
so how do they correct those flaws?
Okay, they wound up third for the whole year in points allowed. Third, and Pro Football Focus ranked that defense second overall. That's pretty good. And I realized they crumbled down the stretch. They went 1-5. I realized they fell behind, what was it, 28-0 after a quarter of a playoff game at home against an arch rival in the Cleveland Browns, and it was 35-10 at half. I got that. I realized that Ben Roethlisberger wound up with Pouncey sitting on the bench crying at the end of the game, and it felt like the end of an era. I get all that. But I still believe in Ben Roethlisberger. I'm still a fan of his. I'm not a fan of the Steelers in any way, shape, or form, but you remember, I love Devin Bush, too. I loved him. I thought they stole him in the first round of that draft. And I assume he's going to come back full force. And if he does, there's a chance they'd keep Bud Dupree. I don't know. He's probably going to command too much money on the open market. He's obviously coming off an injury also. But I don't think the defense is going to be any worse. I mean, T.J. Watt's still there and Cam Hayward's still there, and I can go down the line. I think they're still going to be very good on defense. I think he probably will be gone, be a cap casualty. But the point is...
Oh, you're talking about Joe Hayden.
Hayden, yeah. But look, I'm pretty sure they're going to take Najee Harris in the first round because they better. And if they don't take Najee, they might talk themselves into Travis Etienne. But I love both those kids. But I'll give Najee a slight edge because he runs a little more physically, and he can really catch it and run with it.
Catch the ball a little better.
Hey.
Yes. Yes.
Najee, he made that Alabama attack go. And again, they were about as loaded as any offense we've seen in the history of college football. But but still.
Yeah.
What did we always say? What's the ultimate cliche? The running game is the quarterback's best friend. Well, I believe Ben's going to have a new best friend next year named Najee Harris. And if he does, you better look out because it's going to change the way they play offense. It's going to change. They'll tilt back to a balanced team. And if they can, listen, Ben Roethlisberger, I realize he's 39 years of age. And yet, he's been to 6 Pro Bowls, he's been to 3 Super Bowls, and he won 2 of them. And I get it. Right. It looked like he couldn't throw it 5 yards last year, but he just knows how to play quarterback. He just knows how to stay upright in the pocket. I don't know how he does it. He's just a big, strong guy. And it's not weight room strong, and he takes a lot of hits he's not the biggest workout warrior in the offseason.
Weight room, he don't even work out.
That's what I'm saying. But the point is, I believe he will be inspired by what he saw Brady do. And I believe he did at least glimpse his football mortality at the end of that Cleveland game. Like, is this the end for me? And I believe you'll see a much more recommitted Big Ben offseason going into regular season. I like their chances. I still think they're going to rival Baltimore for the best team in that division.
I'm Skip, hold on, time out. Now all of a sudden, Brady's been playing at a level for 21 years. Let's just say for the sake of argument, we're going to just take last year not counting, but the previous 3-4 years. Ben wasn't inspired by that. What's Ben workout? You read the reports. Ben workout is yoga, going drinking beer, playing golf. So how does Tom Brady inspire that when you know what Tom Brady does in the offseason? So Ben goes and does an hour yoga class, drink beer, plays golf. How does that equate to playing football at an elite level? What have you seen from Ben? Like you tell me about Aaron Rodgers. He did win that Super Bowl, but that was a decade ago. Well, Ben Roethlisberger won his Super Bowl even longer than that. And somehow you believe after the injuries, after the elbow surgery, after what you saw last year, that all of a sudden he's going to come back and be reinvigorated? That he's going to be better than what he's been?
Well, what did we talk about yesterday? How many Pro Football Hall of Famers would give anything to be able to snap fingers and go back to where they were at the end of their career and keep it going the way Brady's kept it going to 43, 44, maybe 45? Well, just about all of them would, right?
Yes, but Skip, that's not what I'm arguing with you. I'm not arguing with that. What I'm debating with you is how good this Steelers team is going to be. I'm not saying that he should retire, but what are your expectations?
I give him a real shot to win the division, and I think Cleveland will get a little better. I think Baltimore is going to be really good. I liked them a lot last year, so it'll be a three-team race. But I'm not counting Pittsburgh out of winning this division, not with Ben Roethlisberger back at quarterback. And I do believe he will be scared straight. I believe he saw it like his the end flash before his eyes. And I don't think it's ever flashed before. I don't think he's ever had any pressure on him. And he felt real heat on him for the first time that he just might lose his job. And he took a huge cut in salary. I mean, $14 million still, it's good money by most people's standards in the pro football, but not by quarterback standards. He's only making $14 million. I think that'll humble him and refocus him.
No, Cam Newton took a huge pay cut,
going
from $21 million down to $1
million. Yep.
Cam Newton took a pay cut. But let me ask you this, Skip. Ben Roethlisberger has never been held accountable for his play on the field. Ben Roethlisberger has been reckless with the football.
He has.
And he's never been held accountable. And somehow now you believe in year 18, he's going to be held accountable?
No,
remember, they got rid of everybody else. Go ahead.
Doesn't he know that this is it? Like, all of a sudden, this could be one and done, one more and done. And doesn't he know he's playing for his future now? And I think he doesn't want to quit yet. And I think you're going to see a much better Ben next year than you saw last year. And yet, last year they got to 11-0. Ain't easy.
Skip, here's the thing. If you don't save up for a car, if you haven't been saving, if you haven't put anything aside, how the hell do you just go get a new car? You just ride that car till the wheels fall off. Well, it's getting the check engine light is on. As a matter of fact, it's not on, it's flashing. But the Steelers have not prepared. They haven't saved anything for a new quarterback. They haven't developed a new quarterback. So what options do you have but to drive this car until it breaks down side to free with the interstate with your butt in it? That's the only options they have. They're over the cap to begin with. They haven't developed a young quarterback. So what other choices do they have but to bring Big Ben back? And the Steelers are not measured by division, Skip. They're one of the few teams that have six titles. They have six. The Patriots have six. The Cowboys have five. They don't get measured by division titles. As Mike Tomlin always says, the standard is the standard. The standard for Pittsburgh is championships, not division titles. We'll leave that to the Cowboys.
Okay.
The Cowboys hang banners
for
winning NFC East titles.
Okay. So you're telling me that Ben Roethlisberger is still the quarterback of the Steelers by default because they have no other choice.
Yes.
So you're saying...
Skip, you heard what... Skip.
Go ahead.
You heard what the general manager said. Did that sound like a ringing endorsement? Did that sound like, oh, man, boy, we anxious to get Big Ben back? We'll see. Skip, let me tell you what. If somebody asked Ernestine, well, how are you and Skip getting along? Well, we'll see. What you and I, wow, Ernestine, what are you talking about? We gonna see. Well, that's what Kevin Colbert said. You heard him. And you and I talked about it the next day. That wasn't a ringing endorsement.
Okay, he was negotiating. He needed to renegotiate a deal so they'd have a little bit of cap space so they could even think about keeping Bud Dupree. And he won.
Skip.
He got him.
Skip. They had Ben where they wanted. They were never going to bend that cap number, $41 million, was never going to happen. Everybody knew that. Ben play didn't warrant that. Had he done with Tom Brady, they would have had no problem. As a matter of fact, if they'd played like Tom Brady down the stretch and won the Super Bowl, hell, they would have extended him. Like they're talking about extending Tom.
Yeah.
My thing is, okay, I just don't see Ben getting better, that arm getting stronger.
Okay, good.
In year 18.
I got it. I hear you. So let's set the over-under for next year's Steelers at 8-8. Are you going under 8-8?
I give you 9-7.
You say they will be 9-7?
Yeah.
Well, that's not terrible.
You
act
it?
Like they're just dead in the water.
Hold on. You just said they went 11-5. They won their first 11 games last year.
Yeah.
I'm saying they won't win this many games. I'm saying they're going to be two games less than what they won last year.
All right,
why wouldn't it be equal to good or not better?
Okay, I will take 10 wins for two cases right now.
Bet. Got it.
Got it. Thank you.
Hold on, Skip Bayless. Skip. And moving forward, I want two cases. I want 2 liters. I don't want them little 16-ounce bottles. I want 2 liters.
What?
I want two cases of 2 liters.
What do you mean you want? You owe me 15 cases. Now, and over the years, you've owed me like 100 cases, and I've never got one of them.
I gave you 72 bottles one year.
You want? Oh, yeah.
I gave you 72 bottles one year.
But Fox funded that.
It's time to, you got to.
It was a negotiation between Fox and I.
Okay.
Very interesting. I always think of Skip saying he's going to swim in his pool of Mountain Dew.
I love
so
my
Shan,
pool.
You're helping him supply that right now. Mm-hmm. All right, we're 45 minutes into the show. We already got four cases on the line here, but let's talk about a different quarterback. Tensions remain pretty tight between Russell Wilson and the Seahawks. While Russ has said he wants to stay in Seattle, his agent made it clear the quarterback would accept a trade to Chicago, Las Vegas, Dallas, or New Orleans. The latest report is the Seahawks are not shopping their franchise quarterback around, but they are answering any calls from other teams about him. Shannon, are you surprised they're taking calls for Russ at this point?
No. Skip, he's made it clear that he's not happy with a lot of things that's going on in Seattle. Seattle seems to be like, okay, it is what it is, bro. Skip, I tell the story. When Oprah bought the home that she lives in Montecito, it wasn't for sale. She knocked on the door and told the people she wanted to buy the house. And when she gave them the check, they left everything in the house and booked it. So then Seattle is saying, we're not trying to trade Russ. Mm. But if you make us an offer we can't refuse, you can have it. Mm. So that's what they're saying. Come to us with something. Now, I believe they're at bare minimum, Skip, it's a Matthew Stafford deal where you're talking about two first rounders. And you might, given the success, no quarterback has won as many, Russ has what, won 90 plus games in 9 years, 10 years? So nobody's won as many games as he has his first year. But Skip, for the right price, you could have Russell Wilson is what Seattle's telling. What I gather from that is that Seattle is saying, we don't want to trade Russ, but if you make us an offer we can't refuse, you could have Russ. And I believe somebody's going to come in and offer two first rounders, maybe two firsts, a two and a three. And Russell will be playing elsewhere. That's what that tells me, because the mere fact that they're taking calls. Skip, if something is not available, why the hell are you taking calls? You could have easily said, Russell Wilson is not available. Goodbye.
But that's not
what they're doing.
Okay, so you just said that you have concluded that Russell Wilson will play elsewhere next football season.
Skip, now you're not going to get him for a first rounder, but if you make them an offer, they can't refuse. If somebody says, okay, Seattle, we got two ones. We got, because remember, Skip, they gave up this year's number one and next year's number one for the Jamal Adams trade.
Yeah.
So if I can replenish something that I have given that replenish my coffers, why wouldn't I do that knowing that the guy's unhappy? Skip, if he's unhappy this year, what makes me so sure he's going to be happy next year if he's unhappy right now? So what can I do? It seems to me Pete, he doesn't like the control that Pete has. He doesn't like that it's the nepotism that's in the organization with Pete hiring his sons, and they can't have a conversation and have an input, but he has none. So Pete says, I'd just rather cut my losses now. Give me three number ones and you could have Russell Wilson. I'll make it easy. Give me three number ones and you could have Russ.
Okay, so is your gut feeling he will be gone sooner than later?
My gut feeling. Yes, Skip, I'm gonna go 65% that Russ plays elsewhere next year.
Okay. I am willing right here, right now, to bet you two more cases of Diet Mountain Dew that Russell Wilson will be a Seahawk on opening day this coming football season. Want to take that?
Man, look here. What's up with all this dew you try to get up out of me, man? Okay, fine. I give you two cases.
Okay, done. Shannon Sharp, to me, this is a childish power struggle that's playing out right before your very eyes. I don't think there's any way they're going to trade Russ because, A, he's just too good, and, B, it would cost them $39 million in dead cap money if they trade him now. They could split it up a little bit. It'd still be $39 million if they wait until after June 1st. Mm-hmm. But I don't see either way. I just think this is a public power struggle, a PR battle, a game of chicken between a quarterback who got his feathers ruffled a little bit because he didn't have as much input as he wanted. And then an organization right. that said, how dare you, and you and your agent, to put out a list of teams that you would sign off on a trade to, including the Dallas Cowboys and, you know, the rest of them. Now it's a lot of talk about the Chicago Bears.
Yeah, that's what you're hoping anyway.
Well, I told you, if they would do it for just 1-1 and take Dak and we could trade problems right now, yeah, I'd take Russell Wilson, because I'm going to remind you, going back to just last August, heading into last football season, do you remember the annual players voting on the NFL.com top 100 players? It's voted on by the players on players. And remember, Russell was like 1A. He was almost number one to Lamar Jackson at the top of the list. And I remember they had Jerry Rice talking about, hey, to me, it's Russell Wilson, as he's the best quarterback in pro football. Well, I don't think that dramatically changed. Russell, the last, maybe 10 or 12 games last year, he started to struggle. They started to struggle. He ended up being the most sacked quarterback in pro football, and that was in large part his fault because he hung on to the ball too long trying to throw home runs, and yet he started to turn the ball over at a high rate. And then in that playoff game against the Rams at home, he had a QBR of 17 on a scale 0 to 100. That's horrible. But remember, they did win the division last year, and we all thought it was going to be a tough division. Obviously, the 49ers fell apart, but they won it. And because they won the division, I don't think they're doing anything but bluffing each other, kind of trying to put each other back in their place. And yet, in the end, there's no way Russell Wilson's going anywhere but Seattle.
Skip, I disagree with you. I don't believe Russell Wilson is bluffing. I believe Russell Wilson would really like, I believe it would enhance not only his wife's career, who he loves very much, and she's an entertainer, and he wants to be close, and he wants to be somewhere. Vegas would be ideal, because she could get a residency at one of these hotels.
I agree.
Perform 5 days a week.
All right.
And that would be great. His brand, Dallas would be best for his brand.
It would be.
You talk about Chicago. Markets. Russell Wilson wants to be a brand. You talk about guys wanting to copy what Tom Brady's doing. Well, TB12 is a brand. That's what they also want to copy. Yeah, they want to win Super Bowl, Skip. Don't get me wrong. I don't want anybody to think that all they care about is brand, brand, brand. Russell Wilson has won, came very close to winning again. But he also wants to monetize, let Russ cook the brand, and so he can have something after football. That's what these guys are doing now, Skip. When we played, Skip, look, you either went into broadcasting and that was it.
Yep.
But guys have found other ways to monetize after football. And Russ is one of those guys that's looking beyond his playing career. And it would be better served if he was in Dallas, if he was in Vegas, if he was in Chicago. That's what I believe. And so I do not believe Russell Wilson is bluffing. Seattle might be trying to bluff.
Maybe.
They say, okay, Russ, we'll trade you. If you don't tamper this down, we'll trade you.
Yep.
Russ says, I got a no trade. You can't trade me anywhere I don't want to go.
Yeah.
But just to see, I'm going to give you four teams that I want to. Why don't you call them and see what they'd be willing to give you for me?
Mm. So what you're telling me is that right now, instead of letting Russ cook, they're letting Russ simmer, right? On the back burner, like, hey, we're taking calls.
Yeah. Yes. And the mere fact, Skip, that they let that out publicly. Skip, when was the last time you heard teams say, oh, yeah, we're fielding calls?
No.
Skip, they do that to Sam Darnold.
They do.
You don't do that to Russell Wilson, the guy that's won a Super Bowl, that's been a great player in this league for a long time. You don't do that to him. You do that to Sam Darnold. You do that to some guys like, oh, yeah, we tried to get up off you. You don't do that to Russ.
No, I got it. But, Shannon, they're just trying to send him a very public message of, we're still in charge here, right?
Right. Yeah, and he read that message and said, I got one for y'all. You're not in charge.
Okay. Well, we'll...
But I'm going to get my two...
You're going to get it?
Hold on. When does free agency start? Skip, the 27th? No, that's the trade deadline. And March, I'm trying to think, when is NFL free agency? It's soon.
I care about right now is next Tuesday at 4:00 Eastern, because that is the deadline for putting franchise tags on people such as Dak Prescott in Dallas, Texas.
Skip, why you waiting on that? You already know what's going to happen. You know he getting a tag.
Well, I'm thinking, is there a long shot? Like, I would happily lose two cases to you if you told me that Jerry Jones had pulled off a trade for Russell Wilson so that we had a happy camper and Seattle could have a happy camper.
Yeah, it would take Dak and two first rounders. Yeah, I tell you what, Skip, give us Dak. Seattle's going to say we want Dak, two first rounders, and D-Law.
I'd think about that. Because I don't think Dak's ever going to be happy in Dallas. And if you're right about they're just going to tag him just before the deadline next Tuesday, then I think we all agree that means it'll be one more year in Dallas and done, because they're not going to tag him. What's the third tag? Goes like $53 million or whatever.
$51 million.
Yeah, they're not going to do that, obviously. So that would be the beginning of the end of Dak in Dallas. Okay.
Yep. You put the tag on him, Skip. He's going to be like a Kentucky or Duke freshman. One and done. He's up out of there.
Okay. Last quick point about, you talked about Russ's wife, and she is very talented, obviously, and has her own career.
Yes.
There's been so much speculation about Russell to Chicago. Well, I lived in Chicago for 4 years, and I do not believe his wife would love living in Chicago, because it gets too humid for 3 summer months, and it gets way too cold for 9 winter months. That's what happens.
It does. My mom lived in Chicago since 1960. Ew. So I know what cold is. I don't think she would, Skip. But I think Russ is... But look, I think the two ideal places for Russ would be... You don't like him with the Raiders, because you say John Gruden is really tough on his quarterback. But I think the Vegas situation, and obviously for a brand, there's nothing bigger than Dallas.
Nope. America's team. Here he comes.
I don't know.
I don't know why.
March 17th, NFL free agency. So we got a couple, about a week and a half before we start to see a lot of movement we're expecting here, guys. And I'm really interested how this one plays out.
No mercy.
Hey, Undisputed listeners, I wanted to tell you about our brand new Fox Sports app and website, foxsports.com. Reimagine for the modern sports fan. Go ahead, download the new app right now. You don't even have to pause this episode. Every day on the new app and website, you'll see the top stories in sports, plus a rich world of written content, videos, social media, and analytics to give you a 360-degree view of the most important stories of the day. Streaming live TV has never been so easy or elegant. Every Fox Sports game, including all pregame and postgame shows, are just one click away. For the extra invested fan, we also go deep with real-time wagering lines, trending prop bets, win probability, and key player projections. Download the new Fox Sports app or visit www.foxsports.com.
Hey, Undisputed listeners, it's Charlotte Wilder here to tell you about my new podcast with Mark Titus called The People Sports Podcast. It comes out every Thursday, and Mark and I take one of the big stories of the week, and then we go off on tangents you never saw coming. This might mean that we start talking about the Dodgers winning the World Series and end up wondering if Knicks fans deserve happiness. Or begin with LeBron's greatness and end up drafting our ultimate beer league softball team made up of old athletes. Whatever it is, the only rule of the show is that it has to be fun and funny, because these days we could all use as many laughs as we can get. So check it out wherever you get your podcasts and come down weird sports rabbit holes with us. We can't wait to have you.
You haven't heard about the McCrispy yet? Well then, you probably haven't heard the sweet silence after the first crispy bite either. Go try it for yourself to hear the best not sound you've ever heard.
It's now been 5 years since the 2016 draft, and NFL.com released an article redoing it with 2020 hindsight. Dak Prescott jumped all the way up to the first overall pick from his original selection in the fourth round. And on the flip side, the real number one pick, Jared Goff, fell to the 41st selection in the redraft. So, Shannon, do you agree with this?
Hell no. Based off what? Dak's played 5 years, won one playoff game. He won two division titles. Jared Goff has won two division titles, and he's taken the team to the Super Bowl. Okay, I get he's gotten traded. It's easy to say, well, he's gotten traded. He's on a new team. Carson Wentz is on a new team. But what has Dak? Now, if you want to say Patrick Mahomes should have been the first pick of his draft, nobody's going to refute that. But I need you to show me empirical evidence that says Dak Prescott has been so much better. And where are these championships to validate this argument? To say he's won one playoff game, which is fewer than what Jared Goff has won, that he should go over Jared Goff, and Jared Goff is going to a Super Bowl? Are we looking at just because Jared Goff is no longer with his original team? This is absurd. Now, if you want to say maybe Derrick Henry, who's a two-time rushing champ, who's one guy who got 2,000 yards in one playoff game, okay, Jalen Ramsey, Joey Bosa, Tyreek Hill, I would even give you those. But I need to see something other than a bunch of stats that says Dak Prescott should have been the number one pick in the draft. Based off what? What have the Cowboys won? They've missed the playoffs just as many times as they've made it. And Dak should be number one? This is absurd. This is laughable.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You finally turned back into Shannon Sharp. Pro Football Hall of Famer.
But he still should get paid.
I have lost you over the last 4 or 5 months because suddenly you have become Dak Prescott's biggest fan and defender. And you've been telling me for weeks on end on this show that he now deserves close to Patrick Mahomes' money. And I ask you, when did Dak Prescott turn into Patrick Mahomes? Well, it's when Jerry done him wrong and didn't pay him. Pay the man. And I keep saying, pay him what? Mahomes money or close to? He's not worth it. And all of a sudden, there's this runaway train of Dak support. And of course, ironically, I have been the biggest defender. And nobody has applauded Dak Prescott more publicly than I have over the last, you know, going on 5 years. But I, again, reality is reality. And all of a sudden, he vaults to the top of this draft. And then my other question is, Shannon, when did Jared Goff turn into Josh Rosen? I mean,
yes.
let's not forget, he's a two-time Pro Bowler. And in 2018, the season they wound up in the Super Bowl, he was graded as the eighth best quarterback in Pro Football by Pro Football Focus, and he finished 10th in QBR. So he was a top 10 quarterback. And remember, head-to-head with Dak Prescott in the playoff game out here in L.A. at the Coliseum, it came down to a fateful 3rd-and-7 play coming out of the 2-minute warning from the Rams' 28-yard line. Dak had started to heat up. The score was 30-22 Rams. And Sean McVay called a bootleg, a rollout, for Jared Goff. Remember what happened, Shannon? He kept the football, yeah, and he ran with it for 11 yards, and I was done. Jared Goff made that play, and he made enough plays to get them. Obviously, they got help from the referees, but he made enough plays to get them through New Orleans to New England in the Super Bowl, and he did not play well in that Super Bowl. We all know that. But if you look at his numbers from 2017 to 2019, Jared Goff, he was sixth in the NFL in completions, and he tied for fifth in touchdowns. Well, that could make him edge of a top five quarterback. And obviously,
yes,
the Rams had some misgivings about him, struggled some last year, yet they still got to the playoffs. And yet when they had an opportunity, that organization, that executive board of theirs, it will plunge. And when they said we could get Matthew Stafford, and I do think he's a diamond in the rough. I think he's a top five quarterback who's been toiling in obscurity in Detroit for all these years for a bad franchise and a bad football team. And I do think he's an upgrade over Jared Goff. And so they plunged. And I don't blame him for that, but that doesn't completely disqualify Jared Goff to the 31st pick in the first round of that draft. That is insane and just silliness, because somebody looking for a semblance of a quarterback would have taken Jared Goff before 31 in that draft.
Exactly. Skip, if you remember, I think it was 2017 when the Cowboys had the Rams down, and Jared Goff led that comeback in Dallas.
No, he did.
And they just beat him out here last. So he's, if I'm not mistaken, Skip, he might be 3-0 against Dak Prescott. So I just don't get it. I get Dak has played. I think Dak has played well considering where he's drafted. He's played above where he should have been drafted.
Sure, absolutely.
But to say He should have been the number one overall pick. Skip, if he had Mahomes' credentials, he's been an MVP. He's taken a team to a Super Bowl, won one, gone to another. Skip, you get no argument from me, Skip. I say, you know what? They're absolutely right. But because he's won one playoff game, he's won two division titles, Jared Goff has just as many division titles, more playoff victories, and he should be 31 and Dak should be drafted number one. What evidence? Because I guess, Skip, Dak is the only one that's with his original team of the quarterbacks that were selected in that draft. I guess that's it. But there are other players. Like I said, Joey Bosa, yep. Jalen Ramsey, Derrick Henry, Tyreek Hill.
Yep.
But to say Dak, Skip, from the fourth round, based on what he has some stats, I don't know, is his stats that much better than Jared Goff's as far as yards? Passing yards?
No.
Touchdowns, QBR? Are they that much better than Jared Goff that you're like, yep, Dak should have been the number one overall pick? I don't see it.
And Shannon, I know I keep
beating. He still should get paid.
Yeah, I got it, but I keep beating this drum until there's going to be a hole in it, but I cannot defend that over Dak Prescott's last 17 starts, he's 6-11. Not all his fault, but some his fault. And as you know and I know, down the stretch 2 years ago, after a hot start over the last 13 games, I'm going to remind you again, you gave him 7 Fs, as in flunk, as in fail. And it was hard for me to argue against those Fs. Maybe they were Ds, but the point was, he just wasn't very good. He was very disappointing to me. Yeah. And in the end, even last year, I know the stats look good, but you kept saying empty calories because they had the massive, outrageous, miraculous comeback against the Falcons at home. They were down 29-10 at halftime, and they came back and stole that game. And without that one, he would have started out 1, and if you'd given the Giants, you know, it could have been 1-4 because he was trailing for a while against the Giants. So, again, he did not get off to the greatest start last year either. So, again, that's the guy you say would have been a slam dunk number one overall? No.
Yeah, I mean, Skip, there have been some guys. I mean, you look at Michael Thomas, Zeke and obviously Jalen Ramsey, Joey Bosa was in that same draft.
Yeah.
But I just don't get, Skip, how you go say a guy that's won two division titles in one playoff game should go from the fourth round. Should he have been a first rounder? Yes. Should he have been a number one overall pick given what he's done? I don't think so, Skip. I think that is a huge leap, a monumental leap.
Which is why, in the end, he's not going to get a long-term deal holding on and holding out for the kind of money he wants, which is close to Mahomes' money.
Unfortunately, I know, Shannon, you're trying to help the guy get his money, but when you put it that way, it's a good point, Skip. No mercy.